Well, I'd ask you please to open the scriptures again tonight at Matthew chapter 12. And just for a moment, we'll ask the Lord that tonight we will hear the voice of Jesus speak unto our souls by the Spirit through his word. Lord, we thank you for the holy scriptures. They are a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. They are the inspired word of the living God. We thank you that holy men of God speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. And tonight as we seek to expound and apply the words of Jesus to the congregation here assembled, we ask for the help of the Spirit of God. Pray, Lord, that thy word would live. Pray, Lord, that thy word would come with freshness and with power to the souls of all who are gathered, that sinners may be converted, thy name glorified, and the people of God greatly edified. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. I want to take as my text this evening the words of verse 40 of Matthew chapter 12. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. These are the words of Jesus. They were spoken in response to the Pharisees. They had asked for a sign. In verse 38, Master, we would see a sign from thee. In other words, they wanted him to do a sign that would prove or satisfy them that he was the Messiah, the Son of God, manifested in the flesh. That was a farcical demand. The Lord Jesus had already been among them. He had healed the sick. He had raised the dead. He had given sight to the blind. He had caused the lame to walk. So much so was the miraculous power of Jesus Christ and the signs that he produced and did, that the people, others confessed, it had never been so seen in Israel. And all of those miracles, John tells us at the end of his gospel, were signs to show and to prove that Jesus was the Messiah. The reality was that no matter what the Lord Jesus Christ did, the Pharisees would not be satisfied and they would not believe him. And in answering their demand, the Lord Jesus, he said in verse 39, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign, the sense is no other sign, or no more sign, be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And then he goes on to explain that as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so the Son of Man, the Messiah, would be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And in speaking these words, the Lord Jesus was showing and was teaching that Jonah, the character of Jonah, in his experience with the whale, is an Old Testament character that typifies the Lord Jesus Christ in his work. And the Old Testament, there's many of them. Adam is described as a figure of him who was to come. Adam is a figure of Christ. Abraham received Isaac as a type when he sacrificed him or took him to the Mount of Moriah to lay him out on the altar. He's a type of Christ. Joseph, Moses, Aaron, Boaz, Daniel, David, Joshua, the list could go on and on. Old Testament characters that typify Christ. And the Lord Jesus is saying in this verse that Jonah, in his experience in the whale's belly, typifies the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before I come to the crux of the message, let me just point out that there is an interesting little statement that suggests in this verse the day of the week that the Lord Jesus was crucified. See, tradition tells us, and I have to be honest, it really came from Rome, but tradition suggests that the Lord was crucified on the Friday. And I have to say that there's good reason why they suggest that, because in Mark 15 and 42, Luke 23 and 34, or 54, sorry, John 19 and 31, it tells us that the day after the crucifixion was a Sabbath. The Sabbath in the Old Testament was a Saturday. And so if the day after the crucifixion was a Sabbath, then it would suggest the Lord was crucified on the Friday. But you'll notice that the Lord says here that as Jonas was 3 days and three nights, or 3 days and three part nights, because the part can be taken for the whole, but 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so the Son of Man would be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And if the Lord was crucified on the Friday, then yes, part of Friday he's in the grave, Saturday and part of Sunday, the first day of the week when he arose, but it's only two nights, Friday night and part of Saturday night. And so what is the answer? Well, I'm going to say most Reformed commentators believe there were two Sabbaths the week the Savior was crucified. You see, there were not only the weekly Sabbath, but there were ceremonial Sabbaths. And you will know that Christ was crucified at the Passover. The Passover was the 15th day of the month Nisan, normally around our late March, early to mid-April. And every year, the Passover was a Sabbath. It may have fallen on a Tuesday, but if the 15th day of the month Nisan was a Tuesday, it was observed as a Sabbath. And so, commentators believe that the Lord was crucified on the Thursday. The following day was Passover. A Friday was an extra Sabbath, a ceremonial Sabbath. You had the weekly Sabbath on the Saturday, and the Lord rose on the Sunday, the first day of the week, fulfilling the words of our text that he was in not only the grave for 3 days or three part days, but three nights or three part nights. I just put that to you by way of, as we're dealing with the text, and it's there, and I suggest it to you. But tonight I want to focus on the fact, the fundamental part of this verse, where the Lord Jesus is stating and saying that Jonah in his experience is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ in his saving and redemptive work. And I suggest that there are three ways in which Jonah typifies the Lord Jesus Christ from this verse or these verses. I believe, firstly, that Christ's death is foreshadowed in Jonah's experience. Look at verse 40 again. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so, you see the word, so it means there's a likeness. The Lord's taking what happened to Jonah, and it was meant deliberately to foreshadow. The Old Testament foreshadows the work of Christ. And as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And what this verse is saying to us is that the whale's belly experience for Jonah typified or represents the fact that the Lord Jesus would die and be laid in the grave. The whale's belly symbolizes the grave and symbolizes death. Now, I am not suggesting that Jonah died in the whale's belly. Believe it or not, some modern evangelicals will try to tell you that, and some will actually believe that. I have major problems with that, and I don't believe it's necessary for the type. Isaac didn't die on the altar at Moriah, but he's still a type of the sacrifice of Christ that he would die. And I'm saying to you, I personally don't believe that Jonah died in the whale's belly. But the whale's belly is a type of the grave, because had the Lord not intervened, had the Lord not stepped in, and the whale vomit Jonah forth under dry land, the whale's belly would have become his grave. He would have died in the whale's belly. And it would have become his grave. And I'm saying to you that in type and shadow, the whale's belly signifies the grave. I wonder what that experience was like for Jonah. I think the whale's belly was dark. And the grave is dark, isn't it? I remember as a little boy, I was sent to an independent Sunday school. I went to the Sunday school in my own church, by the way, but in the afternoon, we went to an afternoon Sunday school, and I remember hearing the story of Jonah, and the teacher used flashcards. And I have no problem with Sunday school teachers or children's worker using that type of thing to illustrate, but I remember seeing the story of Jonah on the flashcards, and I have to say it was most inaccurate. For there, when Jonah was in the whale's belly, there was a picture of Jonah in the whale's belly, and he had a little candle. And I want to assure you, there was no candle in the whale's belly. It was darkness. Absolute darkness. And in the whale's belly, doesn't Jonah chapter 2 tell us that he went down to the depths of the earth? And when man goes down into the grave, he's going down into the depths of the earth. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, he went down into the darkness, the physical darkness of the grave, down into the heart of the earth. For the Lord Jesus Christ truly and really and actually died. He was cut off out of the land of the living. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Isaiah 53 verse 8 and 9. John 19 and 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. He didn't swoon or faint on the cross to be revived. He gave up the ghost and he died. And Joseph of Arimathea took his body and he anointed it and he laid it in his tomb. He tasted and he experienced death. And I want to say to you tonight, there's something remarkable about Jonah and about Jonah's experience in the whale's belly that typifies the death of Christ. Remember in Jonah chapter 1, Jonah was called to go to Nineveh and he despised the Ninevites because they were cruel and evil to his nation and to his people. And so he went down to Joppa and he got on a ship going to Tarshish in Spain. Nineveh was north of Israel. He got on the ship and he's heading west. He's running away from God, and on that ship he's sound asleep, but he can't get away from God, and the Lord sends the storm. I don't know if you've ever been on a ship. I'm sure many of you have been in Kilkeel and out in the boats when there's a storm. I remember one year when we were in Stranraer and we were coming home for an Easter holiday, and I didn't think the boat was going to go. The storm, I've never been on a journey like it. It literally was like the Big Dipper in Barry. It was up and down, up and down. You didn't want to go near the toilets, we'll not say anymore. It was horrendous. And the ship was all over the place. And the people were all over the place. You couldn't get out of your seat. Well, Jonah was in such a storm in that ship in the Mediterranean Sea. And the shipmen, they did everything to rescue and to keep the boat afloat. And in the end, they woke up Jonah and he said, "I'm a prophet of the Lord." And I'm paraphrasing, I'm summarizing. He said, "If you don't throw me overboard, there's no hope." And of course, the men on the ship, they didn't want to throw him overboard. You can understand why they didn't want to do that. But they tried everything else. And in the end, they had to take Jonah. They feared for their lives. And let me tell you, had Jonah not been thrown overboard, those men on that ship, they would have perished. They would have drowned in the sea. The ship would have been engulfed. It would have sank. But they took Jonah and they threw him overboard. And the whale swallowed him up. And there was a still and a peace and a calm. And those men on board that ship were saved and rescued. Do you see the type? Jonah going down into the whale's belly, into the heart of the earth, saved the lives of those crewmen. And so what a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he died on the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood. He was pierced for our sins. And in tasting death and going down to the grave, he's provided salvation for others. Provided salvation for sinners who will believe his word. And by faith embrace him. Just as those crewmen had to believe Jonah's word, the word of the Lord, and act upon it, so you must believe the word of Christ and act upon it, and you shall be saved not from a watery grave, but from a fiery hell. Christ died for our sins, Paul said. We are reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Salvation from sin, redemption from perishing in hell is to be found in the death of Christ and the death of Christ alone. Your own efforts will never avail. Christ's death and death alone will redeem and save the soul. So I believe Christ's death is foreshadowed in Jonah. But I think very clearly we see in the second place Christ's resurrection is foreshadowed in Jonah's experience. Look at verse 40 again. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The implication here is that Jonah was only 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly. And then he came forth. We read in Jonah chapter 2, verse 10. The Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. He's the Lord over all creation. There's not a sparrow or a little bird that falls from the sky without him knowing and without him ordaining it. The very animal kingdom are under his control. And if he says to the lions, close your mouths and don't devour Daniel, they'll do it. And if he says to a big fish, swallow up my prophet, he'll swallow him up. And if he says to that fish, vomit my servant out on dry land, the fish will do it. If he says to the lion, lie down with the lamb, or the bear, eat straw like the ox, they'll do it. He's Lord of all. Creation is under his control. And after 3 days and three nights, he spoke to the fish. And it vomited Jonah out on dry land, and Jonah came forth from what would have been his grave and his tomb, but he came forth very much alive. And so the implication is that after 3 days in the tomb, Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, would come forth. And he would come forth alive and alive forevermore. And on the third day, Jesus Christ arose from the grave. Death could not keep its prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord, and up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor o'er the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose and he came forth. And the point is this: as Jonah was resurrected from the whale's belly by the power of God, he was shown openly to show that God is Lord over all. So too with the resurrected Christ. Peter was preaching in the house of Cornelius. He spoke these words, whom they slew, the Jews, whom they slew and hanged on a tree, him God raised up from the dead and showed him openly. The resurrection was not done in secret. He showed himself to Mary and to the women. He met Simon Peter. He appeared to the apostles. He showed Thomas his hands and his feet and his side. He appeared unto 500 brethren at once, Paul said. The greater part remain unto this day. In the time of Paul, they were still alive. And what did he show himself forth for? To show that he had triumphed over death, man's enemy. He showed his hands and his feet and his side to prove he had died. But Thomas, he could touch him. He could put his hands in the nail-pierced hands of Jesus, and he who was dead, Thomas, knew he's alive. And he's alive forevermore, and it means he has conquered death. Death is your enemy. It's something that all humanity have in common. No matter who you are, where you're from, what your social standing is, every man has one thing in common. All will die. And death is our enemy because it robs us and steals away our life. God created us to glorify him and to serve him. And sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death takes away our lives, our physical life. And it's an enemy. And it doesn't matter what side of the community a man or woman is from. It doesn't matter what nation a man is from. It doesn't matter what he achieves in life. Death is coming for him. And death will take him down to the grave and he'll return to dust. And it's an enemy. The Bible tells us that the only way that death can be conquered is through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross in death and by his resurrection. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And that's speaking of physical life. Yes, we have spiritual and everlasting life. The moment we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we become alive unto God. And when our bodies die, our souls will enter into heaven. And our souls will be alive with Christ forever, there in glory. But when Paul said, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. He was speaking about the physical life of man. How do I know that? Because he said, but every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. And when the Lord rose from the grave, he ascended into heaven. He sat at his Father's right hand, and the Father spoke to him. When he entered into heaven, the Father said, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. There's coming a day when he'll leave the Father's right hand side. And he'll descend through the clouds of heaven and he'll return to this earth. And at that time, the dead in Christ shall rise first and their bodies will come forth from the grave. And they'll be reunited with their souls in the air. And in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the mortal must put on immortality. The corruptible must put on incorruption. The whole being of the believer will be glorified with Christ, and death shall be vanquished, for then shall be brought to pass the saying, death shall be swallowed up in victory. And I have to tell you this evening, the only way you will conquer and be victorious over death is by being in Christ. As in Adam all die, you'll die because you're a son or a daughter of Adam, and Adam's sin is in you. Even so, in Christ shall all be made alive. All in Christ shall have eternal life within their souls, and they'll conquer death, so that we can look at death and say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you in Christ? Will you triumph and conquer death as he has in him and through him and because of him? Or will death triumph over you and take you down to the grave and take your soul to hell? Would you turn back to Matthew 12? The final thought this evening, Christ's death is foreshadowed in Jonah's experience. Christ's resurrection is foreshadowed in Jonah's experience. But Christ's ministry is foreshadowed in Jonah's experience. Just look at verse 41. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. And notice this little bit. Because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. When the wheel vomited forth Jonah onto dry land, Jonah wasn't going to sail to Tarsus the second time. He'd learned his lesson. He'd been chastened by the Lord, disciplined by the Lord, and he went forth to Nineveh, that great city. Those perhaps who have been disobedient in service, there's a second opportunity for you. The Lord will forgive you. The Lord will recommission you. The Lord will send you forth to serve him. But isn't it most interesting that when Jonah came forth from the whale's belly, that he went forth to minister not to the Israelites or the Jews, but to the Gentile people, to the inhabitants of Nineveh. And when the Lord came and he ministered among men, he ministered primarily to the house of Israel, to the Jew first. But when he died and when he rose again from the grave, just as Jonah the type, who came forth from the whale's belly that typified the Savior's grave experience, Jonah went and ministered to the Gentiles, and many were converted. So when the Lord Jesus Christ came forth from the grave, he went before his disciples into Galilee, and he gathered them there. And what did he tell them? He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, beginning at Jerusalem and Judea, but then go to Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth." And upon, just as Jonah, when he was resurrected from the whale's belly, had a powerful, saving, reviving ministry among the Gentiles of Nineveh, so when the Lord Jesus came forth from the grave, the gospel message would come in this age primarily to the Gentiles, the Jews being blinded for their rejection and crucifixion of Christ. What was the message that Jonah preached to the Gentiles? It was the message of repentance. They repented at the preaching of Jonah. That's still the same message that the church would preach and that men would preach at the command of Christ tonight. And if you want to be saved, it's a message you must hear and you must heed. When the people on the day of Pentecost asked Peter, "What shall we do?" What did he respond with? Repent. Recognize you're a sinner. Recognize that your sin is offensive to God. Sorrow for your sin and flee to Christ by faith. Abandon your sin. Turn unto the Savior. And if you repent of your sin as the men of Nineveh repented of theirs, then you too shall rise in the resurrection unto life eternal and be a witness of condemnation to those you may be heard an even greater preacher or servant of God than you have heard. And yet they repented not. I trust that if you're here tonight and you've never turned from your sin to the Savior, that the preaching of God's word tonight will move you to repent and believe the gospel. Let's bow in prayer. There's no final hymn tonight. And just as this morning, I'll go to the door. I haven't been shaking hands and poured it down. So I'll continue that custom here, and I'll just greet you then as you leave tonight. Our Father in heaven, we do pray this evening that thou wilt accept of our thanks for our being in the house of the Lord. And we do pray that the preaching of the word of God will be blessed of the Spirit of God. We pray that it will bring forth much fruit, even fruit unto life eternal. Save the lost, bless thy people, revive thy church, and take us tonight to our homes in safety, praising and rejoicing in Christ. We ask it in the Savior's name. Amen.